DW.
Peter Karaoke pours a bucket full of cow dung into a blue barrel, the filling tank of a biogas plant. He works on a farm not far from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
I mix manure and water in the barrel. I take a bucket of each. Then I stir the mixture well.
The 42-year-old farm worker says the process is fairly simple. His boss, farmer Stanley Githenji, bought the biogas plant in August last year. Everyone on the farm quickly got used to operating it.
I look through the mixture for stones, sticks or lumps of grass because they would clog the system. Once I have found everything, I stir it again. Then I pull on the plug and let the mixture run into the system.
It goes inside that barrel.
Lying next to him in the grass is the biogas plant, a big white sack. It's flat at the moment because it's empty. Poles are stretched over it, upon which you can hang a big black tarp. The tarp repels UV rays and protects the sack, which serves as a fermenter, from the direct sunlight when it's especially hot. But today it's cloudy and the tarp is lying on the grass, so it can utilize the sun's limited rays as efficiently as possible. It's simple but effective, especially compared to other biogas systems, says Stanley.
Compared to the contemporary one, the ones that normally that are dug, the most permanent, this one is more movable. If you look at the cost, this is more cheaper. And also in terms of space, you don't need a lot of space. It is not even labor intensive as the other one. Because the other one, if you look, it took us about 2 days to install it. But for the other biogas, you can go even about to almost 3 weeks when you're building it.
Stanley Githenji is the youngest son of his family and will eventually take over the farm. He and his parents agree that this system is the cheapest solution when it comes to producing their own gas. They invested around 750 euros. Underground biogas systems cost twice as much in Kenya. It's also eliminating the cost of household gas, explains Stanley's mother, Joyce.
It is cheaper compared to the other one. And this one can, anybody can install it.
Stanley goes ahead to show off the highlight of the system. He walks past the hen house, where 2,000 laying hens are competing who can cluck the loudest. Apart from the chickens, the family also owns 5 cows and a calf. More than enough animals to produce manure to keep the biogas system going. The system's gas line leads into a small shed. There are 4 large white plastic bags hanging on the wall. Stanley explains why.
We do connect to this pipe so that then we open for the gas to go into the bag. Now the bag is okay to fill. We're going to wait for about when the sun is good, when we have a lot of gas, it's about 30 minutes. Mm. We wait for about 30 minutes and the bag is full. We unplug. You can take it to the house so that you're able to now utilize the gas.
Those who produce more biogas than they can use can sell it to their neighbors, who can simply carry away the gas in a backpack. The system is the brainchild of agricultural engineer Karin Pütz.
The idea was simple. First of all, I wanted to use a different kind of technology that is cheaper. And secondly, I wanted to make the system profitable. That means not creating an in-the-ground system that costs 1,500 euros and simply produces a bit of gas for cooking, but will never pay for itself. Instead, I wanted to create a system that will pay for itself in no time by being able to sell the excess gas.
Über den Verkauf von überschüssigem Gas.
Karin Pütz wants to turn 8 recipients into business partners who import and install the systems on their own and also pay for them themselves. The fact that the system has to be imported in the first place is just a temporary solution. While developing the system, Karin Pütz made sure that all of the materials were available in Africa as well, so that the systems and the backpacks could also be manufactured on the continent. But that is only worthwhile if it's clear that there's a market for the product. In Kenya, this isn't the case yet. Karin Pütz's Kenyan business partner, Michael Nganga, is testing the waters right now. He has only imported 2 systems so far. An engineer by trade, Nganga has lived in Germany since 2003.
The system uses simple technology, and I want to use it to open people's eyes so they can see, okay, I can solve my own problems. I don't need to expect someone to come from outside and solve the problems for me. I want to give people strength and show them that they can do it themselves.
Working on an equal footing and showing respect are just some of the reasons why Karin Pütz is against relying on development aid for these kinds of projects. Also, her approach means it's much easier to maintain the systems. She says this isn't always the case if the systems are distributed as part of development aid projects. In her business model, local, independent tradesmen set up the systems, train the customers, and take care of the maintenance. Karin Pütz has refused numerous offers to work with development aid organizations, for one big reason. She wants to break the cycle in which Africans are always the recipients of aid.
DW.